5 minutes after 5 o'clock here, downtown on the Pulse. Well, that, of course, the Yardbirds and one of their biggest hits. But up next on Downtown, we're joined by our friend, writer and critic Colin Fleming, who will tell us, as he says in a new column at Salon.com, that later Yardbirds' work not only is good, but maybe should place them higher in the pantheon than the much-beloved Led Zeppelin. Hello, Colin. Welcome in.
How are you, Mr. Kimball?
I'm doing well. You're ready, as we were joking about it a few moments ago here, and you put it in your piece. You're ready to be dragged to the square and Robespierre'd over this.
We need to rejigger the hierarchy. Yes, we do. And it gets a little confusing because, well, Zeppelin. Everyone loves Zeppelin, right? It's sort of, I think, one of the first rock bands a lot of people fall in love with. And it's, to me, as a performing unit, they're like Catcher in the Rye is literature. It's a gateway to something else, like a gateway whiskey. Maybe you start off with Bruichladdich, and then you move on to Laphroaig and Lagavulin. Well, Zeppelin is like that. They are a 15-year-old with a lot of angst version of the best rock band ever. And they're not. They're really not that good. And I should preface this by saying, I really like them. I like a lot of things, too, though. If Webster comes on TV, I'll watch it. I enjoy it, but I don't think it's great art. Zeppelin's like that, and the piece I mentioned that Robert Plant sounds like a witch. I don't think Bonham's a good drummer at all. I think it's very thunderous, something you do air drumming along to in your bedroom after the girl that you love left you at the prom, and they're very limited as songwriters. They, of course, half-inched a lot of their output from earlier blues musicians. I think Jimmy Page got very lazy on guitar and just started overdubbing himself to death. And as a viable art-making combo, I just don't think that much of them. Now, I listened to all the bootlegs live on Blueberry Hill and Mudslide and listened to this, Eddie, and I enjoy them, but they're nowhere near on the level of even the late period Yardbirds, which were the worst iteration of the Yardbirds.
All right, now I just got a text, and I was going to ask it myself just for clarification. Someone wanted to know if you really just compared Led Zeppelin to Webster.
I'm not saying that you never saw that episode where Webster has a big Led Zeppelin brush and he just gets madly into like their keyboard lines. No, I'm not comparing them. I'm saying there are things in this life that we experience, that we move beyond. Like, look, when I was 14, 15, I'm going to confess to you, this is a little embarrassing. I thought Great White was awesome, okay? When I was a little kid, I thought you couldn't beat Air Supply. But we move on, right? We grow. We don't really grow anymore. We go in reverse. And what we also tend to do is we are so protective of the things we love at a certain period in our life that if anyone raises the question as to their quality, we freak out on that person. And like I said, there isn't a Zeppelin bootleg I haven't heard. I was listening to them earlier today. But the Yardbirds, as a band, would pace them. It's like Led Zeppelin is that hockey player going to the corner with his head down, and here comes Marc Messier, hard at charging, to pop him through the glass. Messier is the Yardbirds.
And specifically, you talk about in the Salon piece, if you want to hear perhaps the best of this group, you want to check out the Yardbirds 68 album.
I think that's kind of, it dovetails with Zeppelin because that's proto-Zeppelin. It's the group that was going to become Zeppelin, even though Page would scupper everyone else in it. But you can start to hear them becoming this heavy metal band. And they play with a lot more flexibility. They're not as, it's like a pun, but they're not as leaden as Zeppelin was. They're not as heavy footed. There is some, I'm not saying they're Count Basie, but there is some swing in what they're doing. And this was interesting because it was a period when they were working in the studio with Mickey Most, who was a producer for, well, he did some nice work with the Animals, but also Herman's Hermits, like bubblegum, teeny bopper stuff. And the Yardbirds were trying to have this commercial sound that wasn't working. And if you actually just line up the two metal bands, the proto metal band and then the de facto best ever metal band, I think the Yardbirds are far ahead. But it's the middle version of the Yardbirds. The 19th, you played For Your Love. That's with Eric Clapton. He leaves. That was too poppy for him. In comes Jeff Beck because Jimmy Page, who was a session musician, didn't want the band. And I guess this is even more of the kind of like radical argument. I would say that that version of the Yardbirds from 65 through the second half of 1966 is musically, not culturally, not zeitgeisty, the most influential rock band there has ever been, more so than the Beatles.
And as you say in the piece on Salon too, despite the volume, which was an essential component, the Yardbirds still managed to find some intimacy in their music.
They did. And when it was with Beck, you had all of these Eastern modal tonalities. You had this rave up that they would do throughout all of their different versions, the Clapton one, the Beck one, and the Page one, where basically the music would start kind of low and it would build. It would build both in volume and in pace. Think of it like an up-tempo offense when the other side is just gassed. The Yardbirds would pleasurably gas, in a way, their audience till it hit this kind of climactic, orgastic moment when everything would spill over. And the neatest part then, and everyone knew this was going to happen, they were caught up in this euphoria, is it would surge right back into the verse, like this kind of musical, wowing, just kind of wizardy sort of moment. And you get that on their final live album with Page, which had been released. He tried to suppress it. I think part of the reason he tried to suppress it is because it wasn't worse than Zeppelin. Zeppelin was doing their thing at the time. It had all these bad overdubs on it from like bullfights, because when you think rock concert, of course you think like, right, the charging of the bulls. And it's finally been restored in its proper version. And yeah, Keith Ralph was not technically the best singer, but he packed a lot of influence. You can listen to Keith Ralph and Ian Brown of the Stone Roses side by side, and you can kind of see where Brown got his attitude.
So with this in mind, Colin, when we talk about Zeppelin, from your perspective, and not that we have to choose here because they meshed together so well, but is Page the more important member of Led Zeppelin than Robert Plant?
I would say that there's kind of a symbiosis with the two of them. I don't see really either of them as being kind of a leading light. I don't think Page is a guitarist. He works with the overdubs in Zeppelin. But if you really want to hear a guitarist work with overdubs, listen to Pete Townshend with The Who. The older I get, the more I listen to The Who, the more I realize that there was no one smarter in rock and roll than Townshend. He was rock and roll's Johann Sebastian Bach, and he would clip a chord from one overdub and put it at the beginning of a song, and he would resolve it later at the end of a song. You always had this Tristan kind of chord, like out of Wagner, and you don't get that with Page. And kind of like salacious as the argument is about this final version of the Yardbirds being better, you have to listen to that middle version, because you couldn't really imitate the Beatles sonically, because their sound is all about their composition. And you're not going to be able to write songs, probably, as good as A Day in the Life, or even She Loves You, right? It's a very tricky, bluesy, narrative-based song written in second person. You don't get a lot of that. But the Yardbirds, you could go into your garage, and you could tool around with feedback. You could tool around with volume-swelling chords. And people did that. You would never reach their apogee. But there were a lot of bands, more so than with the Beatles, who were filtering in a sound. And that was a Yardbird sound. You could kind of go for that. They were untouchable, I think, in terms of the actual music-based influence someone might have.
And for anybody who wants to check out Yardbird 68, I think you said that Jimmy Page has a link to it up on his website. Is that right?
It's on his website. It's on Amazon. I guess when it was first announced, it was just going to be on his website. But I did see it on Amazon, and someone was sweet enough, we'll call it, to correct me on that. Always have to love that. And I got a lot of response from it. And you know what? It was not as vituperative as you might have expected. What happens, the Zeppelin defenders are often people who are musicians, who try to play John Bonham's parts on their kit. It's more so them. It's the people who, though, tend to be strictly listeners. They're kind of like Yardbirds people, and they like having more of a voice, an official kind of sponsoring that, like, yeah, you can say the Yardbirds. You listen to their Roger the Engineer album. It is as strong as almost any album from 1966, and they are going to the East just as well as the Beatles are, and they're doing more of it with those kind of strange modalities. So, yeah, I would say Yardbirds, top three, top four, top five band.
Read Colin Fleming's column. It's available right now at salon.com. Colin, as always, love talking with you. Thanks so much, and we look forward to doing it again next Tuesday afternoon.
All right, go Patriots.